6th episode of the Red Sox Unfiltered podcast. I am your host, Patrick Green, back to deliver another episode with my lovely co-host, Dave Latham. Dave, say hi to everybody.
How's it going, everyone? I'm a little mad at the baseball gods right now. They put Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the Red Sox division.
Yeah, Vladimir Guerrero, for those who don't know, is having quite the show at the Home Run Derby. He broke the record for most home runs in the first round with 29. That is when we were recording. Yeah, Vlad Guerrero is a beast. I wish the Red Sox had him, but alas. And also joining me is my lovely co-host, Chris Rosine. Chris, say hi to the people.
Hey.
Very enthusiastic, as always, Chris. Signature Chris, hey. So now today, we are at the All-Star break, and we are, what, exactly 90 games through the season, right? Yeah, 90 games through the season, 72 left. This is kind of like the point where it's, like, not the halfway point, but it's actually more telling than the halfway point. And we've got some interesting news today that we're going to talk about in a second, that the Red Sox are already thinking about making moves early before the July 31st trade deadline. We have the All-Star break this week, and the Red Sox are thinking about potentially getting a starting pitcher instead of a reliever. So we'll talk about that ad nauseum in a sec. But we also have to talk about that really good stretch the Red Sox had at the end there. So they obviously came back from London, guys. They dropped those two heartbreaking games to the New York Yankees. They came back, and they played easy teams in Toronto Blue Jays and Detroit Tigers, and they took care of business. And I know they were crap teams, and it's not that impressive, but they still won 5 of 6. How are we feeling about these teams after these Blue Jays and Tigers series? And did you guys see anything in those series that would indicate that the Red Sox have a better trajectory going forward? I'm going to start with you, Dave.
There is nothing you can do against the Toronto Blue Jays or Detroit Tigers that will impress me. Nothing at all. You're supposed to be AAA teams.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true. Is there anything that you found that was kind of important as we go forward in those series?
Nope.
Just straight up, they weren't meaningless. But yeah, they were against minor league s competition, not very impressive. And I think a relevant takeaway is that the bullpen kind of tried to derail the Red Sox multiple times throughout these games, but the lineup just kept out hitting everything. So that was encouraging. They scored 8 or more runs in 4 of 6 contests in this series. Yeah, but they also gave up more than 6 runs in every single game but one in that 6-game stretch against those very, very mediocre lineup. So, what about you, Chris? Did you find anything fascinating with these series? Do you think it was a good way to end the break? I mean, obviously it was, but you think it's going to be a momentum swing going forward?
Not really. I mean, it's not, like Dave said, it's not really. The only thing it started making me do was think about the starting pitchers, because we all get mad about the bullpen and whatnot, but the starters aren't really living up to it either. And that's not exactly helpful when you have a terrible bullpen like the Red Sox do. I was curious. I just looked it up. Their innings pitched by team. The Red Sox are 18th in the entirety of the MLB. Surprisingly, the Yankees and the Rays are lower than them, but they also use the bullpen strategy quite a bit, both of those teams.
This is starting at starter innings?
Yes, starter innings. So, of course, that's using who I think it just means whoever is in the game.
Starting,
in the first inning,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that the Yankees and the Rays are a little skewed in that, I'm sure, because they use bullpen arms more often than the Red Sox do. But the Red Sox, the starters aren't going deep in the games, and that's not really helping your worn-out bullpen. So that's what I'm hanging my hat on, is that the pitching staff as a whole needs to figure their crap out.
Yeah, and I'll say this point again, because we've been talking about, I've talked about this multiple times, but it just goes to show you again how valuable Brian Johnson and Hector Velasquez were last year, because inevitably one of your stars are going to get hurt. And like when they came in last year, they were effective enough where the bullpen could take over and the Red Sox could win games. Now the bullpen was better last year, but they still got like 5, 6, 4 quality innings out of those guys and kind of shot them out of the gate. But Johnson's been on the IL most of the year this year. Hector Velasquez has been pretty ineffective when he's been healthy, and he's not even healthy right now. So for the fifth day, the Red Sox are throwing out like Josh Smith and guys who really should not be taking the ball every fifth day, and it's not been going well for them in any respect. And like you see, as you said, Rick Porcello has been really not effective. His ERA is at 5.22 right now. I mean, Erod had a nice stretch at the end there, and Sales have kind of not had as good of a year. So, like, you have maybe three very good pitchers, and then you got two spots in the rotation that are getting blown up on, like, a by-game basis. So that is definitely problematic for the Red Sox going forward. But, no, I mean, it was nice to kind of – I mean, this series – the last two series against the Tigers and the Blue Jays definitely pushed the Red Sox in the right direction. And I know it's not very impressive because they are the Blue Jays and Tigers, but they really do help out in terms of obviously positioning yourself in a better position going forward. You beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. Red Sox now have a 59.7% chance of making the playoffs as things currently are iterated on Fangraphs.com. So that's not bad. I mean, I think like before the Yankee series, it was like barely at 50%. So I'm not really encouraged by this, but I feel better that we won 5 out of 6 than if we didn't win 5 out of 6 or if we split. Because the Red Sox have a pretty tough schedule for the remainder of August with the Dodgers, Rays twice, and the Yankees, or the remainder of July. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, so the Red Sox have some trade rumors going on, guys. We have to talk about this because this is, I think, what we're going to be spending the bulk of time talking about. But this morning, we were all kind of shocked. I don't know about perplexed, but shocked that Ken Rosenthal tweeted that the Red Sox are currently casting a wide net about in pursuit of a starting pitcher. Now, I think we all kind of assumed that the Red Sox were going to get bullpen help probably, or look for bullpen help at the very least. But they think that they can potentially address it through a starter. What do you guys think about this strategy? I'll start with you, Dave.
Honestly, I'm not surprised because when you look at the starters, outside of David Price, why would you trust any of them? Porcello's been bad all year. Eddie's due to blow up any minute now. Sale's been off basically all season. You've seen flashes of the old Sale, but mostly it hasn't been there. He always wears down as the season goes on. Last year, he couldn't make it past July because he had a shoulder injury. He's turning 30, so there's no reason to think he's going to do it again this year. So really, if I'm looking at what's likely there in October that I can trust, it's David Price, end of list. So you're just trying to find someone who, buy low, hope that maybe, hey, he hits a hot stretch, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. And I wrote this in one of the pieces I put on RedSoxInfo.com, arguing why the Red Sox shouldn't sell at this point. But I thought that, like, if they do what they say they're going to do and put Nathan Eovaldi in the closer role, like, okay, like, even if we don't necessarily trust that, at least I think Eovaldi could be a very effective arm out of the bullpen. He has very good stuff. It plays well in the bullpen, as we saw in the World Series. And at least, like, building stuff back up, like, that's a great place to start. And then you won't, if you have another guy in the bullpen, and let's say Brian Johnson comes back or Hector Velasquez, you have innings being eaten. The thing is, the bullpen is completely overtaxed. Colton Brewer, Matt Barnes, and I'm blanking on the third. Oh, Marcus Waldwin all made 13 appearances in the past 30 days, retroactive to 5 days ago. So those guys are literally working almost every other day, which is like tied for second in Major League Baseball among relief pitchers. Like, they are going to get tired. And I think especially in the case of Matt Barnes, we have a guy that most of us know can be a very reliable cog in the back of the bullpen. He was just being overworked, and that's why we saw a 9 ERA in June. I think if you shuffle the bullpen enough where they get a guy in the rotation that's not Josh Smith or whoever else is going that fifth day, you get someone reliable in there like a Zach Wheeler who can eat innings, 6-7 innings, quality innings, then this bullpen thing's going to get better. And you have Nathan Eovaldi in the bullpen, this bullpen thing's going to get better. So they would solve it by default. I'm not perplexed by this. I think this is just another way of solving it. Also, I think starters are inherently more reliable than relievers. So you get a Wheeler instead of, I don't know, Brad Hand, or actually the Indians are competitive, or like a Will Smith, or Shane Green. then this seems like the strategy that could actually be more beneficial than just targeting a reliever. Chris, what about you? What do you think about this?
At this point, for me, any pitching help is necessary. Anybody they bring up from the minors just gets, you know, killed when they get on the mound. It's weird.
It's like they have, like, a hex or something.
They need to add to their pitching staff, clearly, because their pitching staff just, everybody they bring up from the minors just gets killed. And it's one of those things where I've said it before that nobody's grabbing the reins in the bullpen. David Price seems to be the only guy that's grabbing the reins as a starter. Erod a little bit. So it's just they need somebody to step. They need a couple guys to step up. And if you have to go outside the organization to find that, they need to. But it's I don't want them to go after like the high price guys. They can't. Obviously, they can't match anybody's offer. But they should just add a piece here and there. But they need some outside help for the pitching staff as a whole.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, but like I think there are two levels to this conversation that we're having. Like, obviously, what do the Red Sox, is this better than getting a reliever, or do they just need a fresh arm? But the other question is, the reports are that the Red Sox are engaged with talks about the Mets' Zach Wheeler. Wheeler obviously has had fared better the past 2 years. What would you guys think about Zach Wheeler coming to the Red Sox and him being the guy? Dave, what do you think?
Why not? Personally, I'm in the opinion that they shouldn't be buying at all, but if they're going to do it, I'd like it to be for a low-cost guy like Wheeler. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but if you look at his FIP, it's about lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about a point lower than his ERA. So hopefully other teams will be scared off by the ERA number, not really look into it too hard, and you don't have to give up anyone that significant for Wheeler. That's what I'm hoping for, because if you are convinced that this team stands a shot, don't give up the farm for it. Please don't, because they're not doing it this year.
And, yeah, and I think another relevant point is Wheeler has 1 year left before free agency. So this is his last season, half season. So he wouldn't cost as much, and potentially the Red Sox would be in a better position to re-sign him. Now, over the past 2 years, actually year and a half, Wheeler has been worth 6.8 WAR, which is really, really good. And he's had injury problems in the past, but like the past 2 years, he's been entirely healthy, entirely effective. This guy would be a really good addition. Like Nathan Eovaldi was like the catalyst last season, but like Wheeler would be even better. Let me tell them to shut up.
Hey guys, could you please keep it there?
I'm so sorry about that. But yeah, Wheeler would be a significant improvement for the Boston Red Sox as the guy who's coming in and giving you quality innings, and the Red Sox need that right now, and I don't think there's a better guy to do that than Zach Wheeler. So, I like, especially on the market, like, I don't know, like, Dave, I know you're a prospect guy yourself. Do you have any sense about what the Red Sox potentially could give up or would have to give up for him?
See, I'm terrible at guessing the market around the league, but
yeah.
Zach Wheeler, I'd say it would be probably a similar price to what they gave up for Nathan Eovaldi last year. Last year, they gave up Beeks. I'd say the equivalent this year would probably be a Brian Mata type guy. I don't want them to do that at all, because Mata's probably your best bet as a starting pitcher. He's only, I think, 19 years old. He's the third youngest guy in AA right now. But chances are Darwinson Hernandez, by now the book's out, he's not a starter. Tanner Huck's done well in Portland, but just about every scout you'll speak to says there's no chance he makes it as a starter. It's going to be a bullpen. I'd rather give up Huck, and there's a bit more of the unknown there, so maybe the Mets would be enticed. And you got to factor in, it is the Mets. They make bad decisions all the time. It's what they do. So maybe you could get Huck for Wheeler. But if I had to guess, if you're going by pitching prospects, it's probably Mata. If you're going position players, it might be CJ Chatham and some change.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, I think maybe we can look to what Nathan Eovaldi costs and kind of make a similar parallel between the two, a half year of a guy who's having a pretty good season. But I think Wheeler would probably cost a little bit more. Obviously, the Red Sox only had to give up Jalen Beeks, who, I mean, was a good AAA reliever, but every time, or AAA starter, and every time he got his chance at Boston, he didn't do that well. So it felt
The reason I said Mata is Mata, he's not as pro-ready as Beeks was, but Mata, it probably has the higher ceiling now than Beeks did then. Like, Beeks is in Tampa is outperforming what everyone expected him to be. So.
Yeah. So I could see Mata as being a very realistic guy to go to them. I don't know if they would ask for a pitcher because I mean the Mets need everything at this point. They need to just kind of like completely kind of shape things up.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I never liked trading prospects based on positional need. It's like they're prospects.
Yeah.
Most like there's a 50-50 shot at best it'll work out. And if it does and you have too much good talent, you trade it away. That's a good problem to have. You go for the best player available.
That is true.
The only other thing, if the team really isn't sold on Dalbec, like as a major league player, I could see them doing that, which I wouldn't mind, honestly, because Dalbec, the ceiling's incredible, but the floor is really low. And the fact that he's still in AA and hasn't moved up to AAA by now, I know there's basically no difference in competition, but AAA gives you a lot that AA can in terms of the guys in AAA, they've been in the pros, a lot of them. They know what it takes, like, from a mental perspective to get ready for that. And the fact that Dalbec isn't there yet tells me that they're not too high on him. Because it's not like a Benintendi thing where Dalbec's just this generational prospect. He can run straight up to the majors and be fine. He can't.
Yeah, and I think that is very true. And, like, as you said, like, there's not a significant difference between AAA and AA. In terms of talent, but, like, yeah, in terms of, like, that veteran kind of presence and, like, getting to talk to people about that level, it is different. And, I'm not sure where this will go. What about you, Chris? What do you think about Zach Wheeler being the guy?
I think if you take anybody off the dumpster fire, that is the New York Mets. I wrongly claimed that the Tampa Bay Rays were a dumpster fire last year. The Mets are legitimately a dumpster fire. I think if you take anybody away from that garbage franchise, they'll immediately get better. that's what I think anyway. Zach Wheeler had a lot of promise quite a few years ago. Probably like, what, 4 years ago he had a lot of promise, and he started getting hurt. So I would take a chance on that, and I would take a chance on that, and that's probably all I would do at the deadline, if anything.
Yeah, and I mean, Wheeler's really broke out over the past 2 years. Like, the guy has been awesome. So, he's kind of like he's not even really a reclamation project. Like, do we have to see what we have in him? Like, he's proven over the past two seasons that he can be a, you know, number two in the rotation, a very viable number two. So, I would be very excited for potentially getting Zach Wheeler. I think he would be the guy.
I don't think he's a number two.
I think he would be a guy, and if you're looking at a team where you were only one piece away, I'd be a lot happier about this deal, but I just think this team is a lot more than that one piece away.
But do you think Wheeler could be a two, Dave?
No. No.
He's mid to back end.
I'd be happy with him as
6.8 WAR over the past 2 years, year and a half. That's number two stuff.
I think he's better suited for a three.
I could see three. And, I mean, technically, like, he would be on the Red Sox.
Hypothetically, if Price is the one right now, I'm sorry, Chris Sale, but David Price is just having the better year. If you can get a, you know, maybe 80% Sale the rest of the way, that's a good enough two. Then you have Wheeler. Theoretically, Porcello would be, like, five. And then if Eddie stays healthy, great. If not, and Eovaldi builds up strength, that's that can get the job done. But there are a lot of ifs in that.
Yeah. And I think Eddie, like, and I talked about this earlier, kind of took a turn for the better towards the end of the second half or towards the All-Star.
Oh, yeah, break, but so. You know he's going to, like, die in a plane crash at his 139-inning mark because something always happens right around there.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting that he hasn't had significant injury problems. I mean, I'm very happy about it, but he's largely his biggest issue this year. He's just not been as effective, but, like, hey, 102 innings right now. Chris, I don't know if you made a we're going to talk about our betting show later, but did you actually put a number on how many innings you thought Eduardo Rodriguez was going to pitch?
I didn't check that.
Okay, because
I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So Eduardo Rodriguez, wow, he is very much on pace to break his career high in innings, which is 137 and one third inning in 2017. So he's close. If nothing else, that should be surpassed this year. If nothing catastrophic happens. So I see you have this question posed here, Chris. Do you think there's any more to blame for the Red Sox? Any more blame than just the Red Sox bullpen for an underwhelming first half? I know we talk about the bullpen being the main characters, the main agents in this team's underperformance. They've blown more saves than about just about anybody. Do you think that there's more blame to go around in terms of position players or starting pitchers, or do you think it's just solely the bullpen?
Me personally, mm-hmm. I think it's the starters not being what the team thought they were going to be. And I think you're missing a little bit from Mookie Betts, too. I think of all the position players, he's probably been the most underwhelming, him and Benintendi. But Benintendi seems to, well, he picked it back up after his couple of days off or whatever. But I think, I just think that there's a couple of areas where they really need them to return to 2018. And that would be Mookie Betts being the MVP that he was last year, which might not be there this year for all we know. And I think you just need Benintendi to pick it up. Other than that, it is mostly the bullpen, but I think those are also contributing factors.
Yeah, and J.D. Martinez, to an extent, I mean, like, he's still having a very good year, probably all-star level year. It just hasn't been what it has been. It was last year. But I think you've got the loss in production from Benintendi, you got the loss in production from Betts, you got the loss in production from Martinez to an extent. But I feel like a lot of that is kind of made up because you've had career years from Bogarts, at least on the position player side. Bogarts, Vasquez, Devers all have wars that are close to three. Like, these guys have been extremely valuable. And I think a lot of it have picked up on their slack. So to me, it's been the bullpen. It's been a little bit of bad luck. And it's been the rotation and not having that reliable fifth guy and having Chris Sale kind of thrust into more of a mediocre year than he was last year. So and Rick Porcello too. I would say the whole rotation as a whole has been disappointing. Dave Dombrowski even said that. What about you, Dave? Where are you subscribing blame to outside of the bullpen, if at all?
Oh, it's entirely the pitching. Like, obviously the bullpen hasn't been great, but a lot of this is on the starters, like I alluded to earlier. Outside of David Price, everyone's disappointed. Rick Porcello's pitching like odd year Porcello. Chris Sale has been wildly inconsistent. Eddie Rodriguez is staying healthy, great, but he's not being very efficient out there on the mound. Evaldi broke himself. Johnson's been on the IL, and Velasquez isn't a starter. He's significantly better out of the pen. So you've been throwing out Ryan Weber and Josh Smith. The starting rotation was supposed to carry this team, and it's been, you know, arguably the biggest liability, because I blame a lot of the bullpen struggles on the fact that the starters aren't going deep into games, aren't eating innings. So you're basically killing Matt Barnes and Marcus Walden, and everyone else isn't good enough to carry the whole rank. So I put everything on the starters. On the starters and the bullpen. The bullpen shoulders some blame. But the offense has been fine. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. It's the pitching that's letting this team down.
Okay, yeah, I tend to agree with almost everything you said. I think the lineup's been just fine. The rotation has been okay for certain respects, but, like, yeah, Rick Porcello, Chris Sale have not lived up, and it's really been disappointing that they have no one stepping up in that fifth spot. But they've never had starting pitching depth, which has always been a problem for them. So now I'm going to move on to a Twitter question here. We actually got some at the last minute. It's from our old friend Jeff Wax, at Jeff_Wax. And he's got a three-part question. Well, I'll read all three tweets here. So one of three. He said, guys, I was serious about my boycott question last week, which the trio thought was an impractical idea, arguing the Sox would not suffer any economic loss because of the lucrative TV contracts, etc. My point was simple. Sometimes people have to band together, forming grassroots coalitions as a way of affecting change. Fans do have power, which they abdicate if they do not take action. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words, just saying. So that was what him responding to our Chris, Danny, and I's conversation. He originally had asked about the Red Sox potentially, or the Red Sox fans potentially boycotting the Red Sox product this year to try to demand them get a relief pitcher. And I think Chris, Danny, and I kind of banded together when we said that we didn't think that we said it was impractical. One, because it would be hard to get, you know, all fans in agreement to boycott, which is something that is just a game and is not that serious. And it's not like the Reds, and I, at least in my end, it's not like the Red Sox are that bad where they warrant it. They're just fresh off the World Series. I don't think that was realistic. But if you want to hear our entire conversation last week about that, you can go back and listen to episode 55. You can listen to it anywhere. But his question for our show tonight is, who do you feel are the trade chips on the Sox at this point? Who would you package MLB and MILB for a quality arm or two that might yield 10 more wins the team probably won't garner without some new pitching additions? I'll go with you, Dave, first. Do you want to tackle these questions?
So I'm in the opinion that they shouldn't be buying, but for the sake of the question, let's say they are. If you're looking down the depth chart of guys that might be traded, you're going to want to get, honestly, I hate to say it, the words coming out of my mouth, but I think CJ Chatham's pretty expendable. I'm pretty low on the guy. He always gets hurt. He's probably a top 10 in the system. That's where Sox Prospects has him. But I don't see him as much of anything. He's a great glove. I won't deny that. He's a decent enough hit tool, but you can't trust him to stay healthy. And between Anthony Flores down in Lowell, I really think he's going to turn into something, even though he's starting off a little slow. He's 17 and he's playing against like 20-year-olds. It's understandable that he's not that hot out of the gate. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Chatham slipped off. I don't think they're going to trade Hernandez or Huck because both of those guys, they're getting work as relievers. I think they're in the plans for the 2019 Red Sox. But so if you're going to trade somebody, the one that's going to get you the most value of the guys that I could see being traded is probably Brian Mata. We alluded to that earlier. I probably don't like that idea, depending on who we get back, but that's probably going to be the one to go because I don't see them trading Casas or Duran for anything.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And if they do, oh my God, you better just, like, it's going to be a 2-hour podcast, and an hour and 58 minutes of it are going to be me yelling.
I like, for the sake of your own sanity, Dave, I hope they don't. I really hope they don't. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that there are a lot of trade chips on this team. I hope Duran, Casas, the guys from like were in the class last year and this year, obviously probably not on the burner. I can see Dalbec being a guy that they may throw out there for like somebody like Wheeler, to a lesser extent. Chatham, obviously, he's kind of been a little wishy-washy. I could see him being somebody the Mets may be interested in. So yeah, I agree. Even Mata too. So I'll defer to you on that. I think like a package, maybe around Chatham, and like I have a hard time reading this market too. Like, I don't know how much Wheeler himself is going to cost. Like, will just Chatham be sufficient? I mean, it's a half year of a pitcher. I'm not sure. I will say maybe like this Chatham or Mata for Wheeler straight up, and then you get a half year of Wheeler. It won't solve the Red Sox pitching issues going forward, but it'll be a nice short term injection to try to salvage 2019. What about you, Chris? What do you think about in regards to these questions?
I'm just going to retweet what Dave said there.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Dave knows more about the minor league system than I do. I am, however, going to inject a little bit of home run derby fun in here because it's on my screen right now. I don't know if it's on your screen.
I'm watching it too. This is crazy.
They're in a three swing swing. They're Vlad Jr. and Jock Peterson hit 37 home runs in one round apiece. 37 apiece.
Get out of here.
In the normal time, they hit 29 apiece, which was the record for a single round.
Oh my God.
Now they're doing the three swing swing off part.
And I have money on Vlad Guerrero, so
this is like nuts to watch.
This is nuts. Like, I keep craning my neck to watch this, but yeah, this
stuff never, like, the home run derby never intrigued me, but this year I was like, I'm gonna watch it, and this has been super intriguing.
This has been fun. Yeah.
Vlad's out here just murdering baseballs.
That's always Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson is up. He's one home run behind. Jesus Christ. We're not gonna end that.
Back to the Twitter question.
Sorry about that.
It needed to be ejected in there.
Yeah, that's actually all for our Twitter questions, Chris. So do you want to circle back to our betting episodes? You want me to preface this real quick? We had a betting episode.
I think, preface it.
Yeah, go preface it, Chris. Go tell them about this.
So our betting episode was an episode where we ran down a list of questions. We did a thing, and we all gave our answers. I actually recorded the answers, and we're going to take a little bit of a break here and check in to see how our answers are doing. Spoilers, it's not going so hot. I am going to tell you guys, do you guys want the highlights? Or do you guys want me to just go like question by question here? Because I can give you the highlights. But we did mention, I said I had gold chocolate coins for everyone. The little chocolate gold coins, that's the thing. We also mentioned something about Monopoly boards. So, like, the two losers had to buy a Monopoly board for the winner, and it had to be, like, baseball-themed.
Why did we settle on
this? I don't even remember that.
I have zero recollection of this.
In the episode. Now, this betting episode wasn't sponsored by anyone because we can't be bought, but now we can be bought.
We can be bought very easily. We could always be bought.
We now have someone who's buying.
We can be bought. So what I'm going to tell you about now is Thrive Fantasy. So Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app for prop bets. They've streamlined the drafting process and eliminated the need to do unnecessary hours of research by using only top-tier athletes. So you don't have to sit there and be like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this guy or whatever. They got rid of the salary cap format. You build your lineup around a list of prop bets. For each contest, you need to choose 10 of the 20 prop bets plus two ice picks that protect you from any late scratches or postponed games, so you don't have to worry about checking it later. Each unique prop has an over and under point value assigned to it. You'll be rewarded that point value if the prop is correct. For example, Xander Bogaerts will get two hits today, over or under. The less likely the prop is to occur, the more points that the choice is worth, and you build your team hoping to score the most amount of points based on that. So if you go over to Thrive Fantasy, it's a cool app. So you just go to your iTunes. What's the iTunes store? Is it just called the iTunes store? Not iTunes.
I think it's Apple store? The Apple store.
Apple store, yeah.
Apple store? Okay, you go over there. Yeah, I'm not an Apple user, guys. Or you go to the Google Play Store, wherever you go to get your apps, find Thrive Fantasy, sign up. You use our promo code BOSOX, like the team that we talk about all the time, Boston Red Sox, BOSOX, BOSOX. When you sign up, you use that promo code, and if you put $10 in as a deposit of $10 or more in your first deposit, you'll receive an instant $10 match with our promo code BOSOX over at Thrive Fantasy. So yeah,
go do that.
We can be bought.
We can be bought.
Go do that. We can be bought. We were bought. so I will jump right in here. I'm going to tell you the first 9 questions. None of us got them.
Really?
Oh no!
I hit
one of them on who and when will the first home run be hit by? I said the second game. I said Benintendi Bogaerts hit the first home run of the season, but he hit it in the second game. So I got the second game part of it right. That's about it. Who will get the most saves? I infamously said Tyler Thornburg. Tyler Thornburg.
You know, he's still a chance.
Moment of silence. Moment of silence. I mean, he still does have a chance. There's the leader right now is 7, and that's Ryan Brazier. So you guys were wrong too.
Brazier train's leading the way.
You call him Brazier train?
Yeah, Brazier train.
Have I ever done that on the show before?
No,
you have not. That is a
Brazier train. That's great. That's a good one. All right, so the first one we did was win totals. I said 100 because, you know, I'm optimistic. Dave went 98 and Patrick went 96. What are they on pace for, Pat?
91 according to Fangraphs.
Yeah, so that's not looking so good. Now, this one's fun, too. Minor league talent that we thought would contribute the most at the major league or who would become a significant contributor for the minor leagues. Do you guys remember what you said here?
Did we say Michael Chavis? Tell me.
I don't want to.
Travis Likens?
None of us said Michael Chavis.
How? That should have been right there.
I think I wanted a challenge.
Pat said Durbin Feltman.
I said Durbin Feltman. Yeah.
Pat said Durbin. There's still time, man. There's still time.
There's still time.
Uh, Dave said Travis Lakins. That ship may have sailed. And my ship never even
took off,
took its anchor up or anything. Sam Travis, that's not going anywhere. So, yeah. So, we also talked about the innings pitched for Chris Sale. Pat had 180, Dave had 170, I had 120 because I thought he was going to get hurt. He is at 107. So the likelihood of you guys being correct is higher than the likelihood of me being correct, unless like Chris Sale blows up in the next his next start. So that's good news. I'm gonna say that Pat's probably gonna be correct on that one. Thanks, but remember, man. it's Price is Right rules. So
did we demarcate that during the?
Yeah, I said it like four times, man.
Oh,
at least.
Hello.
I mean, my guess is with Price is Right in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm usually not like a Price is Right kind of guy, so
You guys ready for another highlight?
Yeah.
How many games will Pedroia play in?
Oh no.
I think I said a lot.
Yep, you said 94. I said 113. Dave said 87, so Dave was the most pessimistic out of the three of us.
But, and I was still way too optimistic.
Yeah, all three of us were just really Red Sox homers right there. Really wanted Dustin Pedroia to
come
back.
We were Dustin Pedroia's homers. I think that we all grew up with him. And
yep.
Yeah.
So
how many games did he actually play? Because let's just assume he's not coming back. He 12, played in a grand total of six.
Three.
Six what, games.
Was it 12?
Really, that's it?
Six?
Yeah. Six
all right, games. So even if he does come back.
Poor Petey.
Dave is the only one who has. Yeah.
No, I don't have a chance.
No, nobody has a chance.
No, you don't.
Because
we all lost.
Point. Yeah, we all lost.
Yeah.
Wow. Man.
Pedroia would need to come back right from the All-Star game, play every single game, and even that might not do it.
No, it wouldn't.
That's how you know it's futile.
This one's pretty good so far. Who on the 40-man roster will be gone via trade or DFA by the end of the year? None of us had Blake Swihart. None of us
R.I.P.
You guys both took Tyler Thornburg. I said Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson seems less likely of the three of the two.
I think Thornburg, by the time this Tyler episode Thornburg gets released, could be gone.
Yeah.
It's possible. So, very possible, yep.
Air five, Dave.
Boom.
I hate everybody. this Thornburg take gets worse later. Don't worry. We said also who will lead in the innings between Sale, Erod, Eovaldi, Porcello, and Price. All three of us said Chris Sale. You guys both went
did?
Eovaldi's. Yep. But you guys said no. I lied.
I was gonna say I thought I would have went Porcello.
I did this exact same thing when we were going through the episode because I listened back to it. I messed up the numbers. I jumbled up the numbers, and now I just did it again. I'm really bad at numbering, guys. You both said Rick Porcello. I said David Price. Sorry.
Wow.
I apologize to everybody listening.
So nobody said Chris Sale.
Nobody said Chris Sale.
Rick Porcello still got a shot.
Do you want to know what the inning totals are right now? I mean,
that's what I'm
doing. Dial that. You want me?
Or fan graphing, which is baseball Google.
Yeah, basically.
Sorry,
takes a second, though.
I accidentally clicked team stats instead of player stats, so now we're
going
through the whole thing.
You got to snag up the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, now let's see. Okay, so Rick Porcello has 99. He is only 8 behind Chris Sale's 107, Eddie Rodriguez 102, David Price 83, with a wild card in Nathan Volpe at 21. Very wild card.
It's you guys have a chance at Rick Porcello, but I don't think that's happening. The next one we talked about was of that same group, who will lead in ERA. All three of us said Chris Sale would lead. Spoilers, all three of us are correct on that so far.
No,
surprisingly.
Dude,
no, Price is a better ERA by a lot.
By a significant margin, yeah. 3.44.
Okay, I was going based upon who we said.
Huh?
So I guess we're all wrong.
Yeah, we're all wrong. Yes.
I was going
Price.
Based upon the way I was looking at it is I was looking at it differently because my tired brain said that was
like out of like you.
I was looking at out of the ones that
yours,
we picked.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. I was just sitting there looking at the ones that we picked. I was multitasking. It didn't work out whatever. Well, so we're all wrong.
Unless you count Brian Johnson's 113 ERA out of the rotation and two starts.
I don't
either.
Technically speaking, if you want to go qualified, Chris Sale is leading. Qualified.
I'd say 83 is qualified enough.
He'll probably qualify by the end of the year, yes.
Yeah. He'll definitely qualify by the end of the year.
But none of us said David Price, so we all lose.
Chris Sale's time. No, Chris Sale's time.
Hey,
but worse in the second half of the year.
I've got Chris Sale and Erod as my 1-2, guys. Chris Sale and Erod as my 1-2.
I think Chris Sale's going to get better. I think he's being worse on purpose right now because now he can reverse the trend, you know?
You
guys both have Eovaldi as your number 2. So that's where we're at. He's not even going to be in the starting conversation. He's going to the bullpen.
Big old RIP.
Yep. So we also talked about who received the first ejection. This happened on June 11th. It was Andrew Benintendi and then Alex Cora immediately thereafter.
Hmm.
Pat, you did say Alex Cora, so props to you for saying Alex Cora. But you also said the 15th game of the season. Dave said Ryan Brazier on the first week at the Yankees, and I said Rick Porcello May 15th. All of us were losers.
I don't feel bad about losing that one because
I don't either. That was just like
a random shot in the dark guess funsie.
That's like putting all your chips on one number in roulette.
It would be more embarrassing if that was the only one we got right, because it means we're better at just guessing than we are at breaking things down.
True story. So most appearances by a bullpen arm. I basically said who would be the most used bullpen arm, but then I said, okay, most appearances bullpen arm. Right now, Ryan Brazier is leading with 41. Matt Barnes has 40. And I said Ryan Brazier, so kudos to me. I got one right.
But Brandon Workman's been in 43 games.
Okay, again, I did the thing where I looked at what we said. Oh. Who's closest with that?
I'm fact-checking you, man.
You can fact-check me, man. Technically speaking, we're all wrong. But if you want to go by who's right, I'm correct.
No, we're all wrong. Don't try to salvage yourself.
You're trying to get this monopoly, boy. There's
a correct answer. Get this monopoly. This is not a hard concept. There's a correct answer. If you got it, you're right. If you didn't, you're wrong.
I think I deserve this handicap for my Tyler Thornburg takes.
We're not going to give it to you.
All right. Oh, okay. So I was wrong, Brandon Workman. Which is actually surprising to me, but whatever. Biggest surprise on the opening day roster. This is where it gets worse for me, guys. I said Tyler Thornburg.
Well.
Technically speaking, it was a surprise for me.
Nobody was surprised by this except for you.
You were the lone wolf.
Pat said Colton Brewer. And I stand by that. I gave the yellow highlighter of best surprise to Dave for Christian Vasquez. Because who saw that one?
Boom!
Dave, that's a lot better than mine.
So this next question also...
That's going to
be a win regardless. Like, I don't care what happens the rest of the season. There's no way that changes.
This next question, I
didn't expect this.
It's also going to paint a bad brush on me. I'm bad, guys. Biggest dud on the opening day roster. So, I went with Christian Vasquez. Just throwing myself under the bus in this episode.
Have you ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where George just does the exact opposite of his initial reaction and his life gets, like, perfect?
That's what I should do. Clearly, that's what I should do here. Like, that's what's going on. Dave, however, said Brock Holt, so... Brock Holt has not been a dud. So it's
surprised it wasn't Thornburg.
What?
Did I say Ryan?
Surprised I didn't say Thornburg.
I listened back to it and you guys were like, hey, Thornburg, but you know what? We're gonna be weird. So you guys said other people. So
okay.
You said Brock Holt. You said Ryan Brazier, so I gave you the yellow highlighter because the yellow highlighter is the way that I tell who's doing better. So Ryan Brazier. Because I said it, of those three, he's the biggest dud.
I would say so, too.
That's the way I did that one. Yeah. That's the way I did that one. So the next was our season predictions for the playoff picture. You guys ready?
Oh, we did this Pat, too.
I think Pat, I did okay on this one.
Pat's the worst. Pat is the worst. Pat's the worst. So, you guys, we didn't really denote who was hosting the wild card. I just took whoever you said first as who was hosting the wild card.
Okay.
So that's what I did. Pat said the Washington Nationals were going to be leading the NL East.
They still will. They're coming back.
Still a chance. Milwaukee Brewers and that tight
half game behind NL Central race. This isn't over.
I think the NL Central race is very compelling. I think aren't all the teams like within 5 games of each other?
Yeah, I kind of want the Reds to do it somehow, some way.
No brainer NL West, LA Dodgers. We swept that category, guys. Kudos to us.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
And Pat said the Cardinals first versus the Phillies. So I took that as Cardinals. And then you specifically said second wild card. So that's why I took it that way.
Okay.
So you said the Cardinals are going to host the Phillies in the wild card game. Right now, the Phillies are set to be the second wild card team.
So technically not completely wrong.
Well, you were right on the...
Did you take the Twins in the AL Central? I'm remembering that you took the Twins.
We're going to get there.
Did you take the Twins? All right.
Pat said AL East, Red Sox. Not looking so hot there. Indians in the AL Central, also not looking so hot there. Astros, spoilers, we swept this category too for AL West. And you said the Yankees versus the Rays in the wild card. So Yankees would host the Rays. Neither of which is happening right now.
I said the Yankees would host the Rays.
Oh, yeah, you said Yankees would be wild card one, Rays would be wild card two.
Cool. I heard that back. And cool.
You ready, Dave? You ready for yours?
Let's do it.
Atlanta Braves. There's one right. Chicago Cubs, two right. LA Dodgers, three right.
You said
Phillies host the Cardinals. That's a little wrong. The Phillies are in there. They're not hosting.
But not so awfully give it wrong. To you. Yeah,
he's close. Then you said the AL will be the Yankees.
What?
Both Pat and I booed you off the podcast at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Called it.
You deserve a medal now.
Yep. And you said the Indians for AL Central, Astros, and then you said the Red Sox would host the Rays, both of which are incorrect at the moment. So
who'd you take in the AL West?
I took the Astros. We all did.
Oh.
We all took the Astros.
Oh, okay.
So I had the NL being the Nationals, the Cardinals, the LA Dodgers, and the wild card would be Brewers versus Cubs. I'm wildly wrong in the NL right now, so that's how that goes.
The AL, where you turned it around.
I turned it around in the AL. I said Red Sox, and I took the Twins, Astros. And then I said the Rays would host the Yankees. The Rays are hosting right now. But it's against the Cleveland Indians. So I took the Twins, guys. I'm taking a victory lap there. I saw this one coming.
I got the non-homer of the year for picking the Yankees.
I remember my justification for taking the Red Sox.
Sidebar, there is an entire section where Dave, in the ejection part of this, Dave laid out an elaborate story about Joe Kelly being the first one ejected.
I don't know if you remember this story.
But it will be in the section that comes after the music plays at the end. I'm going to put it back there for everyone to rehear it. So if you don't normally get to the end of these podcasts, there is a blooper reel back there. I will put this right before the blooper reel. Just so that you can hear Dave lay out his crazy Joe Kelly story again. And yeah. That was the betting episode brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. So go over to Thrive Fantasy, promo code BOSOX. Do it.
So, do you think anybody is actually winning right now?
It seems like everybody's
pretty much tied. I don't know.
I should get points for the divisions because I got the whole National League.
You do get points for the
divisions. So, if you take away my thought of, like, oh, who was the best of the three we mentioned... I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 right. Dave has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 right. And Pat's got 1, 2, 3, 4 right.
Woo!
Happy last.
So, yeah, this could change. Some of this can change. Obviously, Tyler Thornburg could come back like the world on fire. Leading some saves, guys. I think if that happens, somebody needs to buy me a Thornburg jersey.
Do it yourself. I did it with JBJ.
Chris, I speak from the heart. There's a better chance Darwin's and Hernandez leads the Red Sox in saves.
You know something, Dave? Well, let me tell you something. There is a universe. There is a timeline where Tyler Thornburg is just shoving it up everybody's butts.
Are we living in that universe?
Not currently.
Shoving it up everybody else's butts.
That timeline could still happen. There is time.
There could be a crack in time and space, and then next thing you know, we're broadcasting this with Tyler Thornburg leading in saves. Who knows? I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
And then you get your Monopoly board.
I would love my Monopoly board forever. That was such a lame prize. Why did we pick a Monopoly board? That's what we settled on. We're like, all right. And we went on to our thing.
There must have been a reason, right?
No, well, we were just like, oh, a baseball Monopoly board.
We're lame.
I used to have one. I can't, because like if I think my plan, well, I don't think I have all the pieces now, but I think my plan originally was I could just ship it from my house and not buy it. Ship it to you.
We really.
Way to bet on being a loser.
Yeah, right. I was hedging my bets.
Pretty much what he was doing. He was like, I'm gonna be a loser this one. So that's what we're gonna do. Yeah, we could have been he's gonna buy us tickets, like a pair of tickets to something. We could have done a whole lot of things.
He could have made me get like a Yankee tattoo on my body. We could have done something really cool.
Yeah, I would never have agreed to a tattoo. This guy doesn't have any tattoos, so.
I don't either.
Dave's gonna like make us go what when he says yeah I have a tattoo.
He's got a sleeve. Dave?
I do not have a tattoo.
None of us have tattoos. I don't think my fantasy football league proposed that the loser of our league this year has to take the SAT again. I think that would have been a very, very fun bet for this.
What?
Imagine just sitting in with like a bunch of 17-year-old kids taking the SAT. Like that's like 3 hours of your day too.
I'm not doing that.
We'll have to work on this one.
We'll have to work on that for next season. We'll do something a lot.
We still got this season. We can think about it. This isn't over yet.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to enact a prize.
Durbin Feltman can still come up and light the world on fire. Same with Sam Travis.
I'm not going to increase the bet right here because I'm already in a very bad spot. But yeah, guys, that's actually going to do it for the 56th episode of the Red Sox and Filter podcast. I need a parting thoughts, though, before we go. I'll head over to Dave first. Dave, what's your departing thought?
Departing thought? Well, I haven't been watching the minors closely, so I don't have one.
Chris?
I don't really have a departing thought either. I'm on the Tyler Thornburg train. Don't get rid of him yet. Use him as the opener.
My departing Tyler thought Thornburg is... I don't know, Chris, if you saw that. I don't know, Dave, if you saw that. But just moments ago, Vladimir Guerrero and Jock Peterson just had like a triple OT. I think it was 4-OT showdown to see who would advance to the finals. They had to do the three-pitch thing. Vladimir Guerrero won by one home run. That was like the most insane head-to-head home run derby match of all time.
His top exit velocity was 116 miles an hour. His top distance was 488 feet.
Vladimir Guerrero is pretty damn good at hitting baseballs.
So. And he's 20.
Could you imagine like him and Devers at the corners for like the rest of your life? Like, oh my gosh, that would be fun.
But you know what's crazy?
They're going to play for a very long time or I'm going to die very young.
Yeah,
I know they're young, but my God, the rest of my life, they're not going to have 50-year careers.
Yeah, you're right.
He may have hit 29, and Jock Peterson may have hit 29, which breaks the record for a single round in this format. I don't know if it's in this format or ever. I don't really know. But Acuña Jr. from the Braves, he hit 25 in the first round.
Which is nothing.
That's...
No, I'm kidding. That's something.
Nothing compared to 40.
I know. Nothing compared to 40.
40 to 39.
So, yeah.
Jesus.
So I hope everyone is enjoying the All-Star break and enjoying the Home Run Derby. We will be back next week with a couple of actions under our belt. The Red Sox, when they get back, take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. So it will be some pretty fierce competition. You can follow us on Twitter at Bo Sox Unfiltered. Go follow us online at RedSoxUnfiltered.com. You can listen to this podcast on a variety of places, including Stitchers, iTunes, SoundCloud, and more, Anchor as well. So please do that. And if our lovely partners at The Aquarian Truth decide to post it on their platforms, you can hear that on iHeartRadio, among other places. So with that in mind, you guys, again, head to the All-Star break. We'll be back next week. Go Red Sox.
Dave, see, what you got?
There's the obvious answer, and then there's the fun one. So the Red Sox are starting out on the West Coast, and their third series of the game, they're going to be in L.A. facing off against the Angels. The Dodgers are going to have a day off, and old friend Joe Kelly's going to drop by Angel Stadium to go watch his old team play. A fight will emerge, and Kelly will jump out from the stands and attack Mike Trout and get ejected on behalf of the Red Sox.
You went deep.
I mean, I can't legitimately put that down, because if you want me to, I can't.
If anyone would do that, it would be Joe Kelly.
I could see that, yes.
That's a good point, yeah, I agree.
I could see that happening. So I'm going to type Joe Kelly here for Dave. Joe Kelly.
Hey, listen! You really need to just do like a blooper reel.
I'm going to create a blooper set. Also joining us today is our other lovely co-host and producer, Chris Drozin. Chris?
Somebody just screamed really loudly behind you, and I fear for your life.
I hear them, too.
Right?
I fear for your
life, man.
Do you want me to go tell them?
Yeah, just keep going. I just wanted to point it out.
No, you
can keep going. I just wanted to point it out.
To all the listeners, that there are people screaming behind me. As they are watching Home Run Derby in my apartment that I share with two very, very mildly speaking roommates who are screaming right now. All right, okay, give me one sec. I'm actually going to ask them. One sec.
Very loud.
All right, that should shut him up.
Oh, I did that perfectly. Look at that. What are you typing?
Who, me or you?
You.
I don't want to tell you. If I tell you, I have to kill you.
Okay. What the hell was that?
Wasn't me.
Let Chelsea's my cat talking to me.
Talk.
Well, tell her you're doing important things, Dave.
I am. It doesn't stop her.